might just frustrate the heck out of all those negative perceptions that are out there about Christ followers. Now, you can be your own judge, but in my opinion, there are two primary areas where we need to be effective with our words. And if we are effective with these words, then this will dramatically improve perceptions about Christ followers. The first area is whatever we say when we talk about God. And the second area is whatever we say when we talk about our own experience with God. Those are the two big areas. So what is God's story? What is your story? And how can you tell them both well? What you're aiming at is for people to walk away from you saying, wow, I enjoyed that. I understood that. In fact, I wish I had some of that in my life. Last week, we discovered that after you decide to walk across the room to meet someone, that as you develop in a relationship, that you focus on the friendship instead of trying to say your own piece. It's far more important to discover the other person's story than to try to cram your own agenda into it. And it's absolutely critical to listen to the Spirit's promptings. That way you're more sensitive to what are the real needs of this person. Now, I believe that if you're faithful at doing this, sooner or later, there's going to be an opportunity that comes where you can say a word about God or a word about your own experience with God. Let's say you know someone by the name of Leslie. And Leslie comes up to you and says, look, we've been friends a long time. And I really appreciate the fact that you haven't tried to cram this God thing down my throat. Although I'm guessing you think that if I gave it a chance, it would probably be much for the better. Anyway, I've been thinking about things. You know what? I'm gonna try out this whole church thing, the whole God plan, you know? But, you know, before I jump into this, can you tell me what this is all about? What comes out of your mouth next? How do you respond to that? Now, there's a theological, technical term we call this situation. It's referred to as a wide open door. You've been given a wide open door. The person wants to hear from you, wants to hear what you have to say about God and about your experience with God. How do you respond? Does your heart rate go up? Palms perspiring? How do you feel right now? Well, if your shoulders are tight and hands are wet and it isn't because of the rain, I got good news for you. Help is on the way. All right? There's a tried and true way to communicate God's story. And God does have a story, a powerful story. And your job and my job is to help tell this story. Anyway, there's an illustration called the bridge. You may have heard of it before. You may be familiar with the bridge illustration. It's quite simple, but it's powerful, and it illustrates precisely what God, through his Son Jesus Christ, has done for humanity. All right, so the next time you're in a delicate conversation with Leslie or, you know, fill in the blank there, whoever you're talking to, the next time you're in this delicate conversation with someone who doesn't quite understand who God is or what God has done and has asked you about it, grab a piece of scratch paper, grab a napkin if you're at a restaurant, and use this simple illustration, the bridge illustration, and ask permission, of course, to do this. And for starters, just you can see it, that even people who are not artistic could probably draw that little chasm, right? You can draw that thing. And you could probably spell God and people. Right away, we have these two different entities. We have people and God, okay? And between people and God is this great chasm. This chasm is caused by the fact that people rebel against God, don't really want God to be active in their lives. They break trust with God. They turn from God. And so there's this chasm, which represents what we call sin. Now, the problem that we face, the dilemma that we are dealing with, is that if we want to get to God, we have this chasm between us. So we can't just seem to leap over the chasm. It's too wide. So we try exerting human effort, hoping we can get the bridge built. But in the end, we realize that all the human effort in the world will never be enough to get us to the other side. But thankfully, God sympathizes with our dilemma, and because he loved us so much, he intervened so we could have a means of getting close to him. His solution was to choose his son, Jesus, to serve as the bridge. If you remember nothing else about this illustration, just remember this. Christ came to earth to be our bridge. And whoever decides to cross this bridge will live with God forever. The Apostle John put it this way, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Now you may choose a different illustration, and there are several that you could use. But try to be familiar with at least one. A clear explanation of who God is and what God has done. So that when the time comes, and that someone sitting across to you poses a question, be ready to give a thoughtful answer. As the scripture says, "And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." 1 Peter 3:15. And whatever illustration you use, keep in mind those words we talked about earlier. Grace-filled words. Gentle words, wise words, healing words. Let your speech be well seasoned with these kind of words. And it's very important to remember this, that you are not responsible for transforming the human heart. That ain't your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit is the one who transforms human hearts. Your job is to be the witness. When given the opportunity to tell the story, to give a tender, thoughtful, clear, passionate understanding of who God is and what he's done, not just for you, but for every person who walks the earth. All right, not only does God have a story, but you have a story, and you need to learn to tell it well. If you are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have a wonderful redemptive story to tell. And it doesn't matter how old you are, when you come to faith, you will have a change. You were different before Christ than after Christ invaded your world and beautifully wrecked it with things like love and forgiveness and grace. Let's take the guy from Luke chapter 5 who once had leprosy. In the Message version it says, "One day in one of the villages there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him in prayer and said, 'If you want to, you can cleanse me.' Jesus put out his hand, touched him and said, 'I want to. Be clean.' Then and there the guy's skin was smooth. The leprosy was gone." Now can you imagine what that experience would have been like for this person? To go through that change. And from then on, I can imagine he told every single person he met, if they were willing to listen, just this amazing thing. "I was a leper. Christ healed me. Now I'm clean." It's amazing. And I imagine that for the hours after he was healed, there was this self-talk going on in his mind about all that had transformed. This is unbelievable. Moments ago, my skin was so angry, it was literally erupting. But now look, it's clean, it's smooth, it's healed. Everything about me was rotting, moldy, diseased, but I've been recreated. It's like I was never sick in the first place. This is unreal. Where did my hopelessness go? Where did my helplessness go? They vanished with my sores. They're not here anymore. And Jesus did this. I have hope. I want to live. I finally feel whole. Okay? Can you imagine that was been going on in his mind all in the hours after he was healed? And you should have noticed there's a before and after pattern to this. Before, after, before, after. I was sick, but now I'm well. I was diseased, but now I'm healthy. I was outcast, but now I'm accepted. I was defiled, but now I'm good as new. I was tarnished, but now I'm clean. Okay? Left for dead, but now I have a future. Isn't that great? Before and after. And which one of those that the person focused on in telling his story? Well, that's really up to him, isn't it? That was his choice. But here's the point, if you haven't caught on, that the majority of you out there have similar stories. It may not be leprosy, but you have a story. You have a before, and you have an after. And that's about all people need to hear right out of the blocks. What were you like before you came to Christ? What was the experience like of embracing him? And what were you like after that decision? Now, you'll come across some great examples of well-told faith stories in the book, Just Walk Across the Room. But allow me a minute here to give you just the essence, the nuts and bolts, if you will, of a few helpful before and afters. I was striving, but now I'm at peace. I was self-destructive, but now I'm healthy. I was guilty, but now liberated. Fear-stricken, but now confident. Despairing, but now hopeful. See? Your own before and after doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. But it does need to be simple and humble, and of course it does need to be true. I must tell you, though, it is possible for these faith stories to be derailed. Derailed. First of all, faith stories can be derailed if a Christ follower won't stop talking. They just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, long after the other person has given all the signals in the world that they have lost interest and want to get out of there. They keep talking and talking and talking and talking, okay? That derails your faith story. Secondly, faith stories derail when a Christ follower is fuzzy about what they're saying. They actually start 12 different points and they never quite finish any of them. And so you're listening and you're getting frustrated and you're getting like, what's going on? Okay. Thirdly, faith stories derail when a Christ follower lays out a string of multisyllabic words that only people within the community of faith even begin to understand. And some of them don't even understand the words. So avoid Christianese or religionese. Take a listen.
A crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of God. Thou shalt no longer be termed forsaken.
What are you talking about? Religionese, using words that only people within the community of faith would understand. And fourth and finally, and please hear me, your faith story will derail. It'll blow up if you take on a superior than thou attitude. You know, if you act like You got your act perfectly together. And, you know, and the person you're talking to is obviously inferior, okay? You start coming across that way, and your story is definitely going to derail. Listen to this.
I pray all the time now. I pray for friends like you, you know, whose lives are going nowhere. I pray for understanding that God will help me know what's wrong with people so that, you know, I can be a lifesaver for them.
Ooh, okay. Don't ever adopt that posture, okay? And if you see me do that, you have my permission to whack me with a wet noodle. All right, don't come across as superior. Now, as we've already heard from the Bible, 1 Peter, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So this is what I want to encourage you to do this week. Yes, this is a homework assignment. This is what I strongly encourage you to do this week. Write out your faith story. Write out your faith story. Your individual before and after story. In 100 words or less. Now, if you need help with that, you can read chapter 6 of the book or get some advice from friends and others participating in the series. In fact, it would be good to show your faith story to someone you trust and be open to some friendly, constructive criticism so that you get your story just right. But create a 100 words or less story, clear, succinct, humble, and simple. And then once you're satisfied, once you've got your complete story, please send me a copy, if you would. You can email it to me, or mail it to me, or drop it off, whatever. Send it to me, your 100 word before and after type story. By the way, giving me this copy is also giving permission to publish your story, because we hope to compile then all of these stories and have them available by the celebration dinner of November 19th. Okay? So, work on your faith stories, and I hope that you're willing also to share them with me, and because you shared it with me, to share it with the greater community. We may not be able to reverse all of the negative perceptions that are out there about Christ followers, but we can at least take a few steps, and we can at least try to make sure that we as a congregation are trying to get the story part right. And if we're doing it right, then other people are going to say, you know those Christians at First Press? They really seem to understand the story about God. And when they tell about their experience with God, I understand what they're saying. And you know what? I want that too. In 1 Corinthians, we read, "If you speak in a way no one can understand, what's the point of opening your mouth?" So let's do the one we name proud. And let's work on and hone and shape and sharpen our before and after stories. And then stay the course until you're ready to share that story with the world. As often as God gives you the opportunity.